From the campus of the University of Hawaii, this is the Center for Southeast Asian Studies Lecture Series Podcast. Podcasts, video streaming, MP3 downloads, and more are available at hawaii.edu/CSEAS and at iTunes.
But yeah, let's welcome Raymond. Here he is.
Thank you for coming. Thank
He'll
you.
Turn the spot off in a second.
Yeah. And there are any questions, please?
How old is Maxima?
The actor?
Yeah.
When we shot the film, he was 13. He just turned 15.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's his first film. It's his first time to act in anything.
Really?
Yeah.
And so is the character reminiscent of his personality?
No, not at all.
Oh.
It's a complete opposite of the actor. First of all, he's not gay. The only thing they share in common is that they're both very graceful, because Nathan, the actor, is a dancer. And that's how we found him. We were holding auditions, and we were already in our third or fourth week of auditions. We still hadn't found a suitable boy to play the role of Maxi. And a boy from a hip-hop dance group came to audition. And as he was leaving, we saw that he came in a van full of other boys. And we asked, maybe we could, you know, meet them. And two of the boys were twins, identical twins. And Nathan is one of the twins, Nathan and Gammy. And they did not audition for Maxi in the beginning. They just danced for us. We took footage of them dancing, and for future reference, we could invite them to play a bit role or something. But when we were reviewing the tapes, we said, you know, these twins, we should call them back and ask them to read. And they did. And we chose Nathan over the other twin because Nathan, although they're identical, his looks were more soft, more feminine. Yeah. But yeah, he couldn't be more different from Maxi. Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about the idea for making this film? I mean, the whole story behind it.
I'm a screenwriter. I've written several scripts for Philippine movies. And my scriptwriter friends and I, five of us, we decided we wanted to do more. We wanted to have more creative control over our scripts, our material, our stories. And we wanted to explore different kinds of character and story that weren't being given the time of day by the studios, the big studios. And we said that if we could produce, if we would be given the chance to produce, we would welcome that challenge. And there was a competition in the Philippines, which was launched 2 years ago, called Cinemalaya. And it was a grant. They chose 10 digital film projects. And we entered our film in that competition, our script in that competition, and we got the grant. The idea, my co-writer, Michiko Yamamoto, before this, she had written a film called Magnifico, which was shown here in Hawaii 3 years ago and which won the grand prize. And it's also about a young boy coming of age. And Michiko, that's a Japanese name. Michiko Yamamoto is half Japanese, but she grew up in the Philippines. She likes to write about young boys. And she said that she wanted to write about a young gay boy this time. And so from there, we brainstormed the idea, and it developed into this story. And one of the things that we said in that initial brainstorm was that, you know, we wanted to make a film that actually had some connection to what's really going on in the country. Because there are commercial films being made, and sometimes these stories could take place anywhere. And we wanted to show something real and rooted in our culture. At the same time, when Michiko said she wanted to write about a young gay boy, we said, Yes, let's make the central character a young gay boy, but let's not make the central problem his sexual orientation. Because there's so many much bigger problems that we have in the Philippines. And you know, being gay shouldn't be a problem. So the film shows corruption and poverty, but we wanted to show that in a subtle way. We didn't want to hit the audience over the head and say, you know, our country is poor and corrupt. You know, but it is. So, but you know, there are people who are trying to do things about it.
What kind of impact do you think you have on your country politician with your film?
Okay, you mentioned Lino Broca.
Yeah.
Yes, he's one of the great Filipino filmmakers, and he's probably the best known outside the Philippines. Most of his films tackle social issues. And you're asking about what our film, if it had any impact on the politicians of our country. Well, I don't know. I don't know if they've seen it, maybe.
Because Broca wasn't popular with Imelda. Just a fact. Imelda did not like Broca films.
Yes, because Imelda Marcos wanted to show the true, the good, and the beautiful side of Manila. She wanted to maybe hide the ugliness, the truth.
So I think you have a very important mission.
Yes.
The impact of politicians.
I agree. Filmmakers, particularly in our country, we have a responsibility. Mm-hmm. We have a social responsibility, and also as artists, we also have that challenge to present social issues in an artful way, where it's almost like sleight of hand. You know, you. I think the best way to convince someone is maybe not to pressure anyone, or not to make them think that you're trying to, you know, you're not trying to push for an agenda. But I think our film raised a lot of questions among viewers, and in particular about the youth, about children not having role models, or children growing up in an environment of corruption, and it's just glossed over. You know, it's in the news every day. It's like, and the children, they're exposed to the news, and they know that, and the cops in the Philippines, unfortunately, have they're not very good reputation. So it's like, who are the role models of the next generation? And you know, that's something that we have to address. Yes.
I thought what was very endearing, very presented, very sensitively and very nicely was, in fact, how the family and the neighborhood, their treatment of Maxi and their sort of tolerance towards his sort of more feminine, expressing his more feminine side. Is this in the Philippines, you know, is this a more common in the lower class, in that area where he lives? Or because you said the initial idea was to write about young gay boys,
yes.
Right? And I thought the way you portrayed it was just very moving and very nice. So the way
Thank
that
you.
They actually didn't make it a big deal, they were all sort of accepting. Of course, there were scenes where he was harassed, but it seemed like the neighborhood and the entire environment was, and he was not the only boy, right? His two friends were. They were very accepting and very treating them, you know, just the way they were. So is this just...
Yes, from our research, from our first-hand observation of life in the Philippines, especially now, and you're right, in the lower income groups, there's more tolerance, there's more acceptance
of this
girly behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And in some of our screenings in the US, there was one audience who said, "Oh no, Maxi's not gay, he's transgender." You know, we weren't thinking along those lines, but you know, but yes, families are more relaxed about it. The Philippines has a reputation for being the only Catholic, you know, Asian country, but that doesn't mean that we're particularly conservative. I think there's always a duality in the value system of Filipinos. You know, a lot of Filipinos still go to church. The local priest, the parish, you know, plays a big part in the lives of people. But people, I don't want to offend anyone by saying this, but you know, I think that religion was not able to fully corrupt the Filipinos. Somehow we retained some of the purity and innocence.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the street scenes, the, you know, the rest of the scenes, because it seems to me that a lot of the sort of the excitement, but also a lot of the humanity of the film is contained in the shots of the other people, the outside. And I wondered whether, you know, whether you're just shooting actually in a regular street, or is this, you know, like a studio presentation? Oh. Like, there seem to be so many real faces in there.
That's a very keen observation, because we shot in a real street that felt like a studio. And it was a producer's dream to shoot in that street, because it's the street where our director grew up. And his neighbors were all used to him shooting shorts and documentaries, and so they're naturals. They don't look into the camera. They, and you know, so all the actors, except the main cast, are people from the neighborhood. Yeah, and then we, of course, the production design. Most of it is free. It came with the neighborhood.
What street, what area is that?
That's in Sampaloc, Manila. To the Filipinos who are familiar with Manila, that's in Sampaloc, near the University of Santo Tomas, which is the oldest university in the Philippines. Yeah. Yes?
Are you saying family is more important than Hawaii?
Yeah. Family is always a central part of any Filipino's life. Even Filipinos who have migrated, you know, their connection to their families who stayed behind is still very strong, I think. The film shows different kinds of love. Love for family, and then love for a friend. First love. So there's different qualities. We're not saying that one is higher than another.
Yeah. Well, with most films, there's always a struggle. Was there any particular hardships that you took trying to get it produced or try to get it granted, right?
Yeah. Well, first, getting the grant was a challenge, because about 200 other applicants submitted. So we, and then the grant wasn't that big. It was for $10,000. Yeah. So, you know, how to stretch that into a full-length film. So we had to...
Did you stay within the budget?
No, of course not. No, but it wasn't much more than... Like, we... Maybe three times, around 30 to 40,000. Yes, yes. And we shot it in 13 days. 13 days. We had to shoot it very fast. One of the biggest challenges I talked about earlier was finding the right maximo, because personally, I didn't want to shoot the film without finding a you know, this kid. It's incredible, it's like magic. So, and then after we shot the film, the editing took almost 5 months on and off because of budget constraints. We had to stop and go, and then later, the biggest challenge was distributing the film, was finding a venue to show the film in the Philippines. Because the Philippines, if you didn't know, used to produce about 200 films a year. It was next only to Bollywood and Hollywood. And then the last 10 years, it's been declining. It's been dying a slow death. And last year, there were less than 60 films made. But the independent filmmakers matched that number. The challenge now is to show these independent films to a wide audience.
I have a quick question. Was it shot on 35mm film or digital?
It was shot on mini DV, on a 3CCD camera. Yeah. And in the Philippines, we had to, again, raise money and borrow, you know, and beg to raise the money to transfer it to film, because the cinemas are not digitally equipped. So we, and that actually exceeded the budget for the whole film. Yeah. But we were lucky because we made it back. It was incredible. Yes, please, the gentleman.
Was this movie shown in the Philippines, and how was it received by the Filipino people?
Yes, it was shown last year. In end of November, it opened in the Philippines. And we had a limited run, run in 14 cinemas. And it ran for 3.5 weeks, which is very good for any film in the Philippines. And it was a successful run. And recently we showed it in New York, in an art house cinema in New York, and it played there for 4 weeks. So, and in LA too. Yes.
Question on lighting. I noticed a lot of your nice shots, a lot of shadows on face. Did you use like special lighting just to get like half the face lit and keep the shadows on one side?
Yeah, our cinematographer, we also lucked out on our cinematographer because he is a senior and very sought after cinematographer for commercials. And he works very fast, and he works with improvised lighting and stuff. So yes, the lighting was much also a function of budget, or the lack of the budget. But at the same time, the camera was very sensitive to light. The camera that we used, which was... the festival is another sponsor, but can I say it? Okay, anyway, we use the camera that was sensitive to light. But you know, the problem with screening it on video is that you can't repeat the same quality of screening twice. Depends on the projector. So I was just saying that last night we had actually a slightly better projection than today. But we were able to blow it up to film, so that we were able to correct many of the underlighted scenes. I'm sorry that there's another film starting shortly in this venue. So, but if you want to ask me any more questions, you know, we can talk outside.
This podcast is a production of the Center for Southeast Asian Studies at the University of Hawaii. The center's director is Professor Barbara Watson Andaya. The associate director is Paul Rausch. The Brown Bag series is coordinated by Hua Lei, and the podcast series is produced by Christian Razukas. Your announcer is Nezia Azmi. This is a free service made possible by the Center, the University of Hawaii, and the United States Department of Education. For more podcasts, videos, and information about Southeast Asia, visit our website at hawaii.edu/CSEAS.